I know some of you were meeting and got together with, if you remember, some of you don't know who she is, but Anna Tinklenberg was an intern, dear friend of many of us, and some of you gathered with her as she and Benjamin are offering and asking for help as they go to another part of the world to live amongst a people in hopes of sharing the gospel with them. And they want to be missionaries, right? That's the word. And I spent time with them over a video call and hope to do that more even this week to encourage them and pray with them as they go, as they are sent to be missionaries. This church has supported them, supported Anna in her original work and helped her even figure out where to go and coached her along the way because we want to see missionaries sent, right? So when we think of the word mission or missionaries or even evangelism, a lot of times in our minds we go to people like that. They say, I want to go to another part of the world. I want to spend time somewhere else taking the gospel. I want to be sent. And today, I want us to know before we leave here that your identity, my identity as a Christ follower, as a Christian, is one of being a missionary. So today, we're going to talk about being healthy missionaries. And this text speaks to that in such a way, and in such a beautiful way, in such a short text. Right before that, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I just want to say that over us this morning. For you who have called upon the name of the Lord, know and trust that God has saved you, that he holds you in his hand, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And if you're here today, you've never put your trust and faith in him, you've never called on the name of the Lord for salvation, you can today, right here, right now. The Lord is here. The Lord is near. But Paul, the writer, continues and says this. Even those, so yes, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how are they to believe if they've never heard of this good news? The good news that Jesus has come and lived the life that you and I have and cannot live. We fail. We are sinful people. He lived a perfect life and then went to the cross, taking the punishment for sin, dying the death that we deserved. He faces the grave that we all have faced or will face, and in that defeats it, promising us eternal life with him forever. He ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, going to God on our behalf, even right now. And he's going to come, and he's going to bring the fullness of God's kingdom. This is good news. This is what John Stott says. The good news of God is simply this: Jesus. The good news is Jesus, and that's what the world needs to hear. How can they believe in him unless they've never heard? And how can they hear, back in our text, unless someone preaches, unless someone announces, unless someone tells them? And how can someone tell them if they don't go, if they're not sent? So our text today, I think, teaches us the indisputable truth that God calls us to the joy. Hear that word, joy. It's fun. It is not just a blast like I went to a ball game, but there's a deep joy when we see someone put their faith in Jesus. There is overwhelming joy. And in this, Jesus calls us to this. He offers us this, part of this, in evangelism as part of his sovereign plan to save people. And it's so easy to say people, but I'm talking souls. I'm talking your friends, your family, your children, your grandchildren, the crotchety old person across the office from you, the one, you know, that guy, that gal, people. It's so easy to go by us and walk by people all day or be around people and forget that there's a soul in that flesh, and that soul needs Jesus. And in God's sovereign plan, don't ask me why or how. I don't know the ways of God like that, but I'm going to act like I do. He lets us, allows us to take part in that. That's awesome. And there's joy in that. So we're going to spend our time looking at two important points from this text today. One is that our God, the one we've been singing about, the one I've been talking about, the one we've been praying to, our God is a missionary God. Say missionary God with me. Missionary God. He is a God who sends. He is a God who was sent. He is a God who is a missionary God. Secondly, we have been saved to be a missionary people. Say missionary people with me. Missionary people. We are a missionary people that serve and are saved by a missionary God. John 17, this will be on the screen, verses 18 and 19. In Jesus' prayer, before he goes to the cross, he says, Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. He's talking about his disciples. And he goes on to pray for us in the same prayer. As Jesus was sent to the world, Jesus acknowledges this with God in his prayer. Just as you sent me, our God is a sending God. Now, before I go any further, I want to push pause to get our minds around this a little bit better. When I was preaching last weekend in Chicago about being a servant, as Aaron was here preaching about being a healthy servant, I had to really just remind the church there, and I want to tell you today in all these identities, to stop trying to do something in order to be it. Does that make sense? So like I can say I'm an astronaut and try to build my own spaceship and jump really high and try to get into orbit, or I can go become an astronaut and learn. Everybody's like, yeah, not so much, Kevin. But you get it. I have to be something in order to do something. So what we're talking about here is what we've been saying all along. What we do flows out of who we are. So many times, like in serving, for instance, we become consumeristic. And so as consumers, we expect to be served. What I mean by that, probably some of you are like, well, that's not me. Well, but maybe you don't want somebody to come and offer you a cup of coffee when you walk in and rub your back, but you want things your way. We think we know what's right, so everybody must fall in line with that. And then we become consumeristic in that. And then with that, we'll offer to volunteer a few hours here and there as it fits our schedule. But servants are different. Servants serve because they know who they are. We are servants, therefore we serve. I know it sounds so elementary, but it's very profound. And it's so profound in the idea of being an evangelist, being a missionary, being someone sent by God. Because we'll go, oh yeah, amen, God sent Jesus, right? Well, yes, Lord, and yes, he sent Paul to these people, and he sent this group. But do you know that you have been sent to Michigan City? You have been sent to LaPorte? You have been sent to Westville or Chesterton, wherever you maybe live? You've been sent to Lansing, Michigan? Hey, Will and Sarah, go Spartans. Is that what you guys say? Sparty this or that? Yeah, go green, right? You don't say that, but sorry. Oh, right, go, yeah. Go blue. Got to get the Michigan folks over here. That's why they're sitting so far away from each other. With all that, we've been sent. I'm sorry, you're here, so I'm going to use you as a point. As we had a dinner for Will and Sarah, and we prayed as they moved back to Lansing to send them back. Not like, go Spartans, go have fun, but yes, all of that, but go take the gospel. Share with people there. Tell people about Jesus. Well, that's for all of us. So every time we gather, sometimes we maybe forget. The benediction isn't like the recap of the sermon and the close, like, all right, high five in the air, Peter, psh, you know, that kind of thing. It's we're receiving the sending. And each week we are sent. You are a missionary. I am a missionary. And therefore, we tell people about Jesus out of that identity. Don't go serve or don't go try to share the gospel in order to be a missionary or a servant. You already are. Does that make sense? So live in that identity. Okay, so God is a missionary God. We all know this passage so well, but in Matthew 28, Jesus, in his authority in 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has all authority. This missionary God says, go and make disciples of all nations, right? Go. The word go is just so explicitly said there. And in Galatians 4:4-7, we heard this around Christmas time, but I want you to hear it now. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. Take the fourth out of it. It kind of throws us off with the King James stuff. God sent his son, right? Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. He was sent with a mission. God is a missionary God. And of course, John 3:16. flying at the Super Bowl this year even, right? For God so loved the world that he gave, he sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, would have eternal life. Our God is a missionary God, all motivated and based in his love for his people. So if God's a missionary God, and we are the people of God, we are a missionary people. Acts 8, verses 1 through 4. This may not seem like such a missionary verse, but it's a very powerful one. One that causes my knees to buckle at times. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. If that was in our day and this time, we would say, God's not here. Oh, it's bad. They were all scattered about. Great persecution hit us. Now, let me make this really clear. This wasn't a church split. This wasn't somebody mad about something and they went to another church or that. Sometimes we over-dramatize that and try to make excuses for our own selfishness and childishness and say, we're just scattered to take the gospel. No, we're just horrible at forgiveness and grace and understanding. I'll just say that. Sorry if that stepped on your toe. Let me do it again. We're not good at that. But this was persecution coming against the church. We have not experienced much of that. Sure, some politics. Sure, some people in your office or in the coffee place telling me, I don't believe that. I think you're weird for that. I get that. But no one has threatened my family because I'm a pastor. I've never been threatened with imprisonment because I share the gospel, and neither have you. No one has ever bust through these doors and said, we're going to arrest you if you stop, or dragging off people to kill and to torture. We've never experienced that. And that's just not a storybook. That is happening in other parts of the world right now. And that kind of persecution came against the church, and they were scattered. But God is not a God who is wringing his hands. And I want you to hear how important this is. God uses this as a sending tool, because the text goes on and says, those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. That is incredible. I don't know about you. I hope I would be that guy. But I got a feeling I'd be like, are you a bad guy or are you a good guy? If you're a good guy, I'll share the gospel with you. If you're a bad guy, I'm a little scared, right? Wherever they went, they continued. God will scatter his people when they become in focused together. And he will use means that we don't like. And he will use means that we don't understand. But it doesn't mean God is not involved. Check this out. If God so loved the world that he sent his only son, and that only son, according to Philippians 2, humbled himself and became in the form of human flesh and was a servant and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So if God loves you and me and this world around us so much that he sent his only son, and if that son loved the Father and loved you and me so much that he came and gave his life and died for us, what do you think God expects of us? Does that make sense? That was pretty overwhelming when I was studying that. It hit me right in the nose, to be honest with you. If God sent Jesus and I'm a child of God, who am I to think I'm not going to be sent as well? But it's okay to look at God and say, yeah, he's a missionary God, but look at the one who he sent. Jesus humbled himself and came, and he gave his whole life. Jesus was sent by God because God is a missionary God. We are sent by God because we are a missional people. And because we are a missionary people, we are a missional church. And I almost wanted to strike that out of our whole vocabulary because that word gets jumbled around in modern Christendom today. But it is a word that I want to use for us. And here's what that means. It means that we are saved to be a church that acts like a missionary to the community around us, while partnering with others in North America, partnering with others around the world. But we are a missionary. And I think I'm just going to say some things and just take it for what it is, but I think the American church has become so arrogant, as if this is the hub of the universe and we're sending people all over the world, right? When the Bible was written, he was talking to Americans, and this is the hub of the world and we're going to send people all over the world. That is definitely not the case. There are missionaries coming here and sent here. And I think at times we become, I'm not saying our church specifically, but the American church, it's easy for us to say, because we are the hub, we're going to fund this and we're going to send other people to go do the work. So we write the checks. And then those who are going have to come back and beg for their dinner every 3 months, and they're not even on the mission field anymore. And we have this whole missionary thing so self-centered. Come back to us. Come back to us. Come back to us. And I think for us to understand, yes, we send people around the world, but we should never send a soul and fly them out of here over the people that God has sent us to. Now, I'm not a pastor that's against missionaries. Not at all. I think we should be planting churches all over the world. But who are we to think we've got this whole thing down and send people all over the world when they're flying over top of all the people that don't know Jesus that are all around us every day? We are called to them. And now, missional is not the same as missions-minded. That's kind of what I've just been talking about. Though they are both important and related, they aren't the same. A missions-minded church is one that cares about missions around the world, and yes and amen. And it gives to missions, and it goes to missions conferences, and it is involved in cross-cultural missions, all very important things. But missional Christians, however, know that the mission field is here, right now, right in front of you. The mission field is next door. It's among neighbors, co-workers, fellow students, and family members. Missional Christians realize that they not only support missions, they need to be missions where they are. In fact, this is a core identity of a healthy Christian. Now, let's talk through this real quickly, and I'm trying to keep track of time because I've got a lot more to share with you, and I'm going to try to go fast, so hang on with me. We believe in the power of the gospel, amen? But the gospel for us, the church, is never to be the withdrawn or isolated or end user of the gospel. Does that make you see what I mean by that? Like, if someone hands me two Diet Cokes, right, and you're all thirsty, and I get two Diet Cokes in my hand, that is probably meant to go share that with somebody else, right? It's not just, okay, go. I know you're all thirsty. I know you all like Diet Coke. This is really refreshing. All praise Diet Coke. Diet Coke is incredible. How great is Diet Coke? Sing with me, how great. Look, everybody, I love Diet Coke. And I go out and buy a t-shirt. I got a bumper sticker with a Diet Coke on it sideways with fins. And Diet Coke is awesome. And I got more Diet Coke here. But I'm never going to share it with you. But boy, is it refreshing. And it is vital to my soul. Does this sound ridiculous? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. Jesus has saved my soul. He's dragged me up from the pit of hell. He's rescued me. He is sweeter than anything I've ever known. He is marvelous, wonderful. Got him on my car. I got the t-shirt. But I'm never going to tell him about you. And I'm never going to tell you about him. Sounds silly, doesn't it? But we're not laughing now. Because I know that. I feel the weight of that with you. We're not the end users. And being missionaries, Jesus didn't send us into the world to go to other friends who go to other churches and say, come to my church because it's better than your church. And in North America, it's just easy to show you statistics. The church grows. There are more mega churches now. And I'm not against mega churches. I think God used that in a matter of fact, you can't look at the scriptures and not be pro mega church. The first day there were 3,000 people, right? So let's just not say, well, they're bad and they're big. I'm just saying there are more mega churches because people are leaving their church to go to where they're served better, or they like the jams better. It's just a better building or whatever. My friends are there. God didn't send us to go do that. And you know, I am shocked when I see new friends of mine become Christians, and they'll talk to me about their friends at work are now inviting them to their church after they found out they were Christians. Does that make sense? Never shared the gospel with them until they found out they were saved, and now my church is better than that one you were at. Come to my church. Does that make sense? And there's nothing wrong, guys. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't go invite your friends to church, but if your friends are already active in a church, unless they're preaching heresy, leave them alone. Pray with them, encourage them, support them. But the friends that don't know Jesus, that's who we're sent to. We're not, you say, go in all the world and build big gatherings of Christians that are disenfranchised with their other ones. Go make disciples. That's new. Make them and teach them, and then make them and teach them over and over and over. That's hard work. That is hard work. But it's work we're called to. See, we're to receive the good news in order to be equipped and sent into the world to love God as we love those who are made in his image. Those folks that we're talking about, there's names to them. And they were made in the very image of God, and we're called to go. Ultimately, missional believers engage in mission because they understand the gospel, and that through the gospel, we are made missionaries of it. For this reason, a missional church expects every member to live as a missionary among the people they come into contact with every day. And man, I don't want to throw a blanket of like burden on you today, but let's just see how healthy we really are. So we're talking about health. You go to the doctor, they strap you up to a machine. I don't have a machine, but we have a fake one. Let's do a fake cardiogram, a missionary cardiogram, and it'll be on the screen. The first check on this is this. Do I have regular conversations with people outside the faith? As I coach pastors, or I've supervised pastors, or you fill in the blanks, I work with pastors, this one is, to be honest with you, where most pastors fail. I'm talking pastors, like people say they're called to serve the church and called to preach. This is the one that I see the struggle with pastors. They don't know people. They don't go out and meet with people, or they want to kind of stay away from people. So I figure if that's happening with pastors, it's probably happening with all of us. So with that, are you having regular conversations with people outside the faith? And I'm not talking about like sharing tomorrow, like show up at the water cooler and say, did you know in Galatians 4, God sent forth his son? I'm just talking about, how are you? Isn't it awesome we didn't shovel snow since February 9th? Like, just engage somebody because you want to know them, that you value them, right? It's important. Next one is, if I shared a meal with someone outside the faith in the last month? Have I served a friend who is outside the faith in the last month? Have I invited a friend who is outside the faith to church or my community group, my small group, missional community? Have I invited somebody? Have I shared the gospel? Remember the good news. Have I shared Jesus with someone in the last month? And lastly, do I need to repent? Pretty heavy words. I can tell you, like if you, mine was wired up, you'd see my flat lines. We all desire health, but how healthy are you in this? Some of us are more healthy than others, but hear me, we all struggle with this. We all struggle with this because I believe as Satan attacks us, he will attack this and the unity of God's people. If he can get us fighting amongst each other, if he can get us longing for something better, if he can get us focused internally or focused on ourselves, and he can get us to be afraid to share the good news of Jesus, he's winning battles, right? But Jesus calls us to something sweeter than this. And it's so important for us to understand that we are not called to a legalistic, unloving recruitment or a sales pitch to a religion. We are empowered to be witnesses. And witnesses, if I see a traffic crash and the police get there and I say, I saw that. Here's what happened. I'm witnessing. I'm telling you what I saw, what I experienced. Witnessing is, in this context, what I'm going to read to you is Jesus telling his disciples, you're going to be my witnesses. You saw me on the cross. And you saw me raised from the dead. You're my witnesses. You saw. And now go tell others. Brothers and sisters, we have a story to tell of God's great love, of his cross and his empty tomb and how that has affected our lives. We have a mission in that. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, as we learned earlier in a series, we must be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So we need a mind shift, if you will, from thinking that other people are just sent as missionaries to the truth that we are missionaries. So this mind shift in mission speaks to what maybe goes on in the gathering and in what goes on when we're scattered, if you will, when we're sent. So I'm going to read a couple of tables for you that we don't have on the screen, so you'll just have to stay with me in this. But I want to talk about our attitudes of this idea of being a sent people, a selfless people. John Stott, in his book, Christian Mission for the Modern World, if you've ever been through our Leader Academy, you received that copy. We've talked about it. And he really speaks to the point that, I think our church gets this in a way, that we're not just talking about just words, but words and deeds, right? Service, care, love, mercy, and the words of the gospel. Now, I'm not just saying, hey, we can give 1,000 food boxes out and we never share the gospel. We're also missing it, right? It's both and. It's word and deed. So here, the attitude comes back to us is, are we expecting us, ourselves, we're the end users of the gospel, or are we sent? So let me talk about the gathering and the idea of a consumer church versus a missional church, all right? A church full of consumers or a church full of missionaries. So here's the consumer. The consumer is outwardly critical. It's all about pleasing you or your preferences or your friends' preferences or your friends' issues are central. You or your circle is what I'm saying. And with that, there's also, you may go, well, I don't do that outwardly. It's also secretly critical. So if you and your friends are just, well, this is about me or me being pleased, there is a lot of consumerism happening there. The missional church, a missionary person is inwardly critical. Hear that, inwardly critical, marked by humility, wanting the scriptures to search and challenge and shape you. So when I'm hearing a sermon, I'm thinking about, what is this saying to me? What is the Lord saying to me? Not, I hope Joe over there is listening. I hope Billy Bob over there is listening, right? No, it's inwardly focused. Like, what are you telling me, Lord? The consumer church is one that receives only by sitting back and waiting to be ministered to, but only if it's pleasing, if it's not boring, etc. The church is to serve you. The missional church is giving, actively loving others through generosity, hospitality, encouragement, etc. You build up the church instead of waiting just for the church to build up you. The consumer church is individualized. Church is something you do personally and privately. It's not anyone else's business. You attend as an unconnected individual. The missional church is community focused. Church is family. There's open accountability. There's support. There's sharing. You gather as part of a body. The consumer church often results in church shopping. The missional church often results in commitment. Commitment to the local church. So we have to shift from consumer church, which equals I go to church, to missional church, I am the church, and there's more to be a part of the church, and therefore we are a sent people. Now the scattering, when we're out as individuals, right? Consumer living says, my resources are something we earn for ourselves to be used to make us comfortable and happy. Missional living says, my finances are a gift from God to be wisely leveraged in obedience to his call to love and to serve others. Time. The consumer is marked by always being busy. Your schedule rules every part of your actions. The missionary sees time as a gift from God to be wisely leveraged in obedience to his call to love and to serve others. Consumer living, space. Your home is a retreat from the world, a fortress to disappear into and to recharge. The missionary says, my home is an opportunity to invite and welcome others in hospitality. I struggle with that, if I'm honest. Like, I'm tired. I want the fortress. Like, stay out. Unless it's like I'm rested and it's good. I'm always stressed. My wife, on the other hand, says, come on in. She's better at this than I am. And because of that, we've used our home as the office, as the church hall. We've used it as missional communities have gathered there over the years. There's dings in my walls. There's stains on my carpet. There's crayon art from some of your kids writing on my walls. And you know what? It's all good. I'd rather have that and say, look what happened here. I have memories of people getting saved in my living room. I have memories of prayer over certain issues of people's lives that were just so at that moment of crossroads. I remember that. Our homes are given to us to invite others in. Our resources are given us so we might serve and build up the church and advance mission, and time is given to us to be used. You see, as a Christian, what else are we looking for? I mean, that's really the question. Time is fleeting. And everybody told me the older you get, the faster it goes. And boy, is that true. That's true. What's the most important thing? Is it building a portfolio or a resume? Is it, I want to be comfortable and, man, Law and Order is running a marathon this weekend, and I got to watch that? Or is it my neighbors, my coworkers, my family that don't know Jesus? There are three strands of mission. And just like a piece of rope, if one strand's missing, it still works. But in God's sovereign plan, in this idea of three strands of mission, the rope will still hold, but it's stronger when all three are present. God will be glorified. We'll have joy when we build relationships, when we share the gospel, and we introduce people into God's community. So let me ask you the question as we end this time together. Who are some people that you are trying to reach with the gospel? I hope as I've been talking that maybe the Lord's been impressing in your mind there's people that he's sent you to. And this, more than any sermon, every time, even in our membership classes or when we preach about this, I can preach about serving all day long, and we'll give some time, and we'll, people, yeah, I'm serving, and we get that. But when I talk about evangelism, there seems to be this weight, and I think it's a good weight. Can I just say that? Because it's so important. We are sent, and there's people around us dying and going to hell. And we feel the weight of that. We need to feel the weight of that. And we're called to go share this good news. And so I want to end our time together with a few things to share with you, how you might be able to do this even this week. But as a missionary people, not to go in guilt or obligation, but go in freedom and invitation. And it's I think, I know a lot of you are doing this, and as you continue to do this, your joy will increase, and you will see people, you'll see people's joy increase. So our call as a missionary at Christ Church, open your eyes. They are open, some of them. If you're asleep, wake up because I'm done. But open your eyes. Just like ask the Lord for those kind of antenna, right? Like, and just listen. and look. John 4:35 says, "Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white with harvest." Look. But in that same text, what he says is this: pray for workers for the harvest. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Open your eyes and see the opportunities. Open your heart, the next thing, and your home. Build relationships, right? Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, it's verse 19, and then verse 22 and 23. "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." The joy. You see that? Matthew 9, 10 through 12. Can I just say, we're going to have to venture into maybe some uncomfortable time. Or when we see others doing that, not to be the religious end user that says, "Oh, don't go to those people." And I will tell you, if we are really sharing the gospel with our friends who are far from the Lord, church is going to get crazy. I say that, and amen to that. I mean, the person in your small group isn't going to know all the answers to the Bible question, and that's okay. Make disciples and then teach them all that I've commanded you. People are going to come with a lot of issues. We're not going to be speaking Christianese because they're not going to understand it. Now, if we invite our friends from other churches, hey, game on. We can sing all the top 40 Christian songs. Everybody knows them, right? No one's going to cuss in our small groups. God forbid that. If you want me to, I'll come over and get you warmed up with that. It's okay. And Jesus reclined at the table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining. They were at the table with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors? Why does he eat with those people?" But when he heard it, Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Can I just say something? That's me. I was sick. I was dead in my sin, far from God, and somebody told me about Jesus. You were far from God and sick and dead in your sin, and somebody told you about Jesus. That's how it works. That's how it works. Open your hands and make an investment. Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. You know, that's what everything that comes towards Christ Church financially is for: mission. This is what we're about. This is what we're doing. Open our hands and make an investment. Lastly, let's go back to our text and finish here. Open our mouth. Because I think at times, like, it's okay, I'll open my eyes. I don't know about you, but I'll look around. Hey, that person needs Jesus, right? I'll open my heart and my home at times, right? And I'll open my hands and share. But here's where it comes down to. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. May that be said of you. May that be said of me. May that be said of us. Would you consider this week? Can I just call you to this? Praying for people to be saved. Whoever the Lord's putting on your heart, or just in walking down the street, pray for those people. Would you pray that? And in that, would you invite someone to the community that you're a part of, whether it's here or whether it's your missional community, into your home, and share love, share God's good news, share Jesus with them. So this week, just right now, if you could just like, don't raise your hand, just say, yes, I'm going to pray for people to be saved this week. The second part of that is, I'm going to go share the gospel. Would you consider that? Sounds weird for me to say that, because that's what we're called to do. You know what I mean? It'd be like me saying to my dog, Titus, Titus, would you not eat your food and then scratch my leg to go outside? Because that's his life. He that's what he's created for. He eats his food, he goes outside, he sleeps. We have been given identities as Christians. And one of those are missionaries. Go share the gospel. Would we do that? Don't let this fall as a blanket of burden, but let it fall as a blanket of opportunity and invitation to be a part of God's saving work with the world around him. Today, if you're here and you're hearing this and you've never put your trust in Jesus, you have heard the good news today. Jesus loves you. He was sent to you. He has died for you. He has defeated the grave for you. And he's calling you to come and find your life in him. Meaning this, turn away from your old life. The life that's dragging you down. The life that's killing you. The life that has no joy. And turn to Jesus and find life. That's available for everyone in this room today. For those who have heard that, share that with others. And those who are hearing for the first time, believe in him today. Let's pray.